fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we are in a fantastic time of the church year. Just celebrated the Ascension, Jesus' ascension into heaven, where he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, and we're about to celebrate Pentecost, which is coming at the end of the week. It's a fantastic time of year. It's so important to see the connection between not only the Lord's coming, his incarnation, his passion, death on the cross, the shedding of his blood for the salvation of the world, but all of that is pointing to, as the ascension as well, as resurrection, the ascension of Jesus is pointing to what we'll celebrate at the end of this week, which is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In some ways, in the words of Pope Benedict XVI, all of Jesus' work and mission was leading toward this moment, that is the outpouring of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, on all flesh. It fulfills a prophecy. The prophets of the Old Testament who said the day was coming when God would pour out his Spirit, not just on someone like Moses or a great prophet, but on all flesh, that God's intention for the salvation of the world and the way God intended to gather in the lost, that is the entire human race separated from him because of the reality of sin, the fall, and the rest of it, is to give human beings a share in the divine life, in God's own life. And that begins at baptism and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's made possible by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who did what? He made it possible by first becoming one of us. Human nature, human beings had fallen. Scripture says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Original sin, the church teaches us, is that the human person, every generation, every person is weakened by and really broken at a very deep level, wounded by the reality of sin and sin's power and sin, which leads to death and separation from God, ultimately eternal death, becomes the central human problem, the problem of sin, which leads to the problem of death. And Jesus is becoming one of us, taking on human flesh, giving to God what belongs to God, that is, doing justice to God, loving God, obeying God, serving God in perfect love, kind of love you and I were called to live but can't live because of the reality of the sin and the fall. Jesus gives to God what belongs to him. He relates, he turns his heart, gives his life to God the way every human being was meant to. And he becomes for us not only a model, but then as he goes to Calvary and sheds his blood, dying on a cross, he becomes the means by which the sin problem is healed and is potentially healed in each and every life, every single person. Jesus deals with the sin problem by offering his life as a living sacrifice to God on our behalf. Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. The whole sacrificial system of the people of Israel in the temple, the offering of the blood of lambs and goats for the sake of the sins of Israel, was a foreshadowing of what was to come in the person of Jesus Christ, who became, he's the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sin of the world. And he does that by offering his very life to God in an act of love and radical obedience to him. And the shedding of the blood of the perfect Son of God becomes the means by which humanity, human beings, can have their sin washed, and they are washed clean and made capable then, enabled by God's mercy through the work of Jesus Christ, to become temples of the living God. So Paul will say later, don't you know that you are a temple of the living God, that the Holy Spirit, God's own Spirit, dwells in you? That's Jesus. That's what Jesus was after in his life, passion, death, and resurrection, his ascension at the right hand of the Father. And it's from that place at the right hand of the Father, exalted in heaven, that Jesus pours forth the Holy Spirit. And that's what establishes the church. The church is a miracle. It's the work of God. It's a miracle brought about in obedience of the Son of God to the Father and the Father's plan to save us. I want to talk a little bit about that today and this week, about the message of the apostles. And then before the week's out, reflect a little bit more specifically on Pentecost, the meaning of Pentecost. And hopefully we can pray together. This whole week, let's pray. Let's open our hearts to welcome a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You can see in the New Testament that the apostles not only received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, or when Jesus was with them before he ascended, he breathed on them in one of the accounts of the Gospels. And then Jesus says, wait until you receive the Holy Spirit so that the apostles could be empowered, anointed by the Spirit to be sent out. But there's other times in the New Testament where those same apostles, again, are touched deeply, profoundly by a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, giving them encouragement, strength, and anointing to do the work that Jesus called them to do. And what's at the heart of that work? The apostles were anointed by the Holy Spirit to proclaim the gospel, that is, to preach the truth under the inspiration of the Spirit and the authority of the Spirit, the direction of the Holy Spirit, to announce to the world the amazing thing that God the Father has done for the sake of the salvation of the world in the person of Jesus. The church was born in the heart of the apostles through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit stirred their deepest energies, in the words of St. John Paul II, stirred their deepest energies and thrust them from the upper room where they were waiting, been waiting on the Lord in obedience to his command. The Holy Spirit came to them and gave them strength, gave them inspiration, courage, confidence, and thrust them into the marketplace, moved them out to announce the truth about what God has done in Jesus Christ. It's so important to see that because faith comes through hearing, and what's heard is the word of God. We're at a time of a new evangelization in the life of the church, when the church is looking to re-evangelize even the de-Christianized, those who had been baptized and maybe were a part of the church at one point but have fallen away or become indifferent. And the church is calling us to begin again to re-propose, not to impose, but to re-propose to those men and women, to those young men and women, the truth and the majesty of Jesus Christ, the beauty of the gospel, the good news of salvation. What we see as we've been reading through the Acts of the Apostles in this season is that the church began, the germ cell, as it were, of what ended up growing the church. The starting point was people hearing the gospel, hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, and what's often called the kerygma, that is the core message of what the apostles preached, is often forgotten, not understood, but it's really a very simple proclamation, a declaration, an announcing of a fact, the facts of salvation, of what God has done in the person of Jesus Christ, and what God is offering to the world for the sake of the salvation of the world. And a good example of that comes from Acts chapter 5, verse 30 and following. Here's a simple summary. Someone asks, you know, what is the kerygma? What is this message that was on the lips of the apostles and from which the good news of Jesus went forth and began to be birthed in the heart of each person who heard that and was open to it? And so what we see is a synergy between the work of God and the power of the Holy Spirit active in the life of the apostles, giving them power, because Jesus said, wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses. Once you receive the power, I'm going to give you the words to speak. I'm going to give you the courage to go forward. I'm going to give you the love that you need to be able to have the kind of love and patience to speak the gospel. And so it's a combination of the work of the Spirit in the heart of a believer who really has internalized the message of Christ and knows that the first agent of the church's mission is the Holy Spirit himself. And the Holy Spirit is at work in us, stirring our hearts to be able to communicate the love that's been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, so that love can be communicated one heart at a time to people who have yet to receive it and to know the good news. And so here's an example, a summary from Acts chapter 5, verses 30 and 32. So in just two verses, we'll get a clear glimpse of what is the kerygma. Who's Peter speaking to? He's standing before the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders of Israel who had arrested Peter and other apostles and thrown them in jail. And while they were in jail, in the middle of the night, the angel came, opened the doors, let them out, and they went back right to the place that the religious leaders told them they shouldn't be, and that is preaching in the temple area. They didn't want to hear any more about the person of Jesus Christ. But the apostles were courageous. They were so filled with the knowledge of God and his goodness and the good news of what's happened in Jesus for our sake and for the sake of our salvation that nothing could stop them from going forward with confidence and joy to share the gospel. So here it is. They're now dragged before the Sanhedrin. They're not happy. They're angry. That is, the religious leaders are angry at the apostles. And so they tell him not to speak about Jesus, and here's how Peter responds. He said, the God of our ancestors raised Jesus. So who's the God of our ancestors? He's speaking to Jewish people. So it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? It's the God of Israel. He said, the God of our ancestors, the God of Israel, Peter's saying, raised Jesus. So that's key to understanding the kerygma. What is Peter declaring? Jesus has been raised from the dead. The next line, he says, though you had killed him by hanging him on a tree. So two fundamental facts. You killed him. God raised him. The very one, the man from Nazareth, Mary's son, whom you crucified, we all know that he died. But we're here to tell you, number one, that God raised him from the dead. The reading goes on. He raised him, and then it says, and God exalted him at his right hand. So Jesus was raised, and Jesus was exalted. These are not just religious terms. They're kind of flowery terms. These are crucial terms to understand who Jesus is and what God the Father accomplished in Jesus for the sake of the salvation of the whole world. God's plan of salvation. You killed him, God raised him, and God exalted him at his right hand. And he exalted him as leader and savior. Another place the scripture says, Lord and Savior. What does that mean? That he's Lord, he's leader, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus said. So literally, Jesus has authority over all of human history, really, all of God's creation. Jesus is Lord. Jesus has full authority. Everything in God's creation now is being gathered up by Christ, and it's being ordered under Jesus' authority, who has the final word on the destiny of all of what God has made and created. So he's Lord and he's Savior. He saved us from what? From hell for heaven. He saved us from the power of sin, which produces death, and it produces death because it separates us from God. Sin's nearness to us provokes God's remoteness. God, who is holy, cannot be united to what is unholy. All have sinned, fall short of the glory of God, can't be united to God. Jesus comes to deal with that sin problem. He saves us from the power of sin and death. And then it goes on. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, to grant Israel, so beginning with the people of Israel, the Jewish people, repentance and forgiveness of sins. This is at the heart of what Christianity is all about. Repentance and forgiveness of sins. And then Peter puts it this way, and we are witnesses to these things, to these facts about who Jesus is and what he's accomplished. We stand before you and we're telling you the truth about what we know. And then he said, not only are we witnesses, he said, but the Holy Spirit is a witness as well. The Holy Spirit has been given by God to those who obey him. They received the Holy Spirit. The Spirit bore witness to their spirit that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the apostles say they themselves are witnesses to these particular facts. I'm going to take this up tomorrow. This is really worth chewing on because it's central to our own destiny. And I'll tell you what I mean by that tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.